You're now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to take a look at the satanic symbolism at the Paris Olympics, where the globalist elite, connected to the World Economic Forum, projected heavy-duty satanic occult symbolism to hundreds of millions of people on planet Earth. And this symbolism, most of you probably have not seen the video footage of the actual occult symbolism in the opening ceremonies, because when you go on the internet, you'll discover that most of the actual footage of the most hardcore parts of this satanic celebration have been stripped down. In other words, you'll read an article on a website and there'll be that television screen type of black screen, and normally you would click that video and it would play. Whenever you attempt to click and play a video of the satanic Paris Olympics, you get it like an error message saying that this video has been taken down, blah, 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 blah. So why all of a sudden do you broadcast this highly offensive video before tens of millions of people, and then you turn around and you delete segments, large segments of the videos of the symbolism? Why do you do that? Because either one of two things: is that their initial strategy to begin with was just to blast out the obscenity, the pedophilia, the Satanism, and all the rest of that stuff, just blast it out into the minds and consciousness of probably hundreds of millions of people. Just blast out that satanic consciousness into their minds to infect their consciousness with demonic doctrines and demonic beliefs. And so if that was the intention of their strategy, then they succeeded. Now, it may be because in that scenario, we make the assumption that they calculated the backlash from what they were going to show the world. So if they calculated the backlash, that means they anticipated a highly negative global reaction. So their goal was not to continually dominate the mass media with their demonic images. Their goal was to blast the demonic images everywhere, knowing that there would be an uproar and knowing that they would have to pull back. So the strategy looks like it was incremental, to blast the global consciousness, especially young children, with scenes of pedophilia and perversion and Satanism and the occult and so on and so forth, and then pull it back. Now, the other possibility is that they overestimated, they underestimated the power of the public reaction. So when they saturated the planet with occult satanic images that are horrific in nature, the backlash from the middle class and the working class that still to adhere in one form or another, they still adhere to Judeo-Christian values and Jesus Christ and the biblical God. There was a backlash that ignited in France, and it was spread throughout the world, where there were massive demonstrations and massive protests against the Olympic opening Olympic ceremonies and their in-your-face promotion of all kinds of hardcore Satanism, pedophilia, perversion, et cetera, et cetera. So either scenario, what we can determine from this is this is just one in many, many numerous successive global promotions of hardcore Satanism, Luciferianism, occultism, pedophilia, sexual perversion, et cetera, et cetera. Because we have been watching, if you look at the global scene, including the super events that happen in America on a regular basis, like the Super Bowl, like NFL football games and other giant sporting events, and of course, the Olympics, this time the Olympics in Paris, has pushed the envelope farther than at any other time with its open promotion of Satanism. So we see that this has been coming down the track with regular, repetitive, highly theatrical, inflammatory visuals and superstars to support it, like people like Madonna and all and many of the other superstars who are, their outfits are filled with satanic symbolism. The sexual gestures, gestures and the sexual innuendos are over the top in terms of their inappropriateness. And you got to remember that the people watching, I believe the larger percentage of people watching are so-called families with children, sons and daughters, fathers and mothers, who are being baited and trapped. They think they're watching the Olympics or whatever, or the Super Bowl or whatever. And so there's this all, there's this kind of Americanism, the American flag. There's this, there's dual counter promotions going on at the same time, appealing to two levels of consciousness. So on one hand, you have surrounding these family, these the virtue of man events, you have two levels of consciousness being communicated to. You have one level where the promotion is designed to reinforce people's basic family values, Christian values, positive values, et cetera, et cetera. But simultaneously to that presentation is a shadow world presentation in which you see a demonic Luciferian, pedophilia, witchcraft, the occult, human sacrifice, blood sacrifice messages. In other words, hardcore occult and satanic symbols, messages, and rituals being pummeled like fists into the consciousness of hundreds of millions of people on planet Earth. Now, in case you get caught up in the temptation to being confused, this is not confusing when you understand it. When you perceive what's going on in our reality with knowledge, which gives you power, biblical knowledge, then you're not confused by the gamesmanship of Lucifer and the Luciferian elite. Remember Satan from the very beginning. Satan's primary strategy in ensnaring mankind, in enslaving mankind, Satan's primary strategy has always been the cleverness of his lies, distortion, the manipulation of reality and illusion, dark psychological, neurological magic, blending the science of mind control with ancient cultic and satanic ceremonies and sacrifices. And so the people that run these events, the people within the globalist elite, some of them are highly trained and highly sophisticated in what could be called scientific mind control. An example would be the MK Ultra program, which I've written to you a lot about in my books, like Power from On High and A Prophecy of the Future of America and The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, where I open up for you the historical and factual occult histories behind Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, the Satanist groups, et cetera, et cetera. So, what we are seeing, the world that we're entering into right now, is what was predicted to happen in the Bible, and which the Bible calls the last days. And so, our world is governed invisibly or from the shadows by what could be referred to as a Luciferian elite or a globalist elite. Now, one of the most powerful examples of the existence of the globalist elite are Luciferian globalist elite organizations like the WEF or the World Economic Forum. It's not an accident that Macron of Paris, France, belongs to some kind of demonic, satanic cult. And he was a major promoter and champion of these recent Paris Olympics and the satanic ceremonies. And he's directly connected and was groomed by Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, or the WEF. So you see a subterranean network, you see a hidden network of Satanists, high, high-level Satanists, the men and women who control the world through their wealth and satanic practices. And they groom, they select people from early childhood, like Macron in Paris, France. They select, and by the way, it's not just Macron in Paris, France. It's Prime Minister Trudeau was groomed by the World Economic Forum, also known as the Great Reset. Macron in Paris, France. Heads of Italy, heads of state all over the world. People of power all over the world. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm a little uncertain as to the accuracy of my recollection, so I'm saying this with a certain amount of hesitancy. And if I'm wrong, just email and let me know. It seems to me that I recall reading and watching a national news story a number of years ago. How many years ago? I don't know. Anywhere from 3 to 5 years ago, I guess. This is an estimate. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was Macron of France who was staying at one of the most upper class, elite class hotels in Manhattan, which I've shown you on video, on my videotapes, because I've videotaped it from the inside and outside to show you all the occult symbols embedded in things like the tiles and the artwork, etc. Now, this famous hotel, which the name just slipped my mind, this famous hotel has been famous for decades and decades. And the elite, among others, often stay there. And in fact, when I was in the hotel videotaping, and I was talking to one of the heads of security, and he told me there were two entrances into the hotel. There was the main entrance, which was very palatial because it's right next to Central Park. But then he showed me a larger entrance, and this entrance was located on the side street of the famous hotel. And it was this hidden entrance on the side street of the hotel where the movie stars, the prime ministers, the presidents, the world's wealthiest people, etc., where they would enter the hotel and they would exit the hotel, like a private high security entrance and exit for the elite. So I believe that it was this particular politician, Macron of France, who was staying at the hotel, and now the name of the hotel has come back to me. You'll probably recognize the name. The name of the hotel that I've been talking about is the Plaza Hotel. The Plaza Hotel is one of the most famous and historic hotels in Manhattan and the world. So it was Macron, I believe, who was staying at the Plaza Hotel and allegedly simply for sport, and because he was bored, it was alleged by one of the maids who was cleaning his suite that Macron just physically raped her. It wasn't a matter of a consensual relationship or anything like that. He just raped her. Why? Because he had the power to do it. And it caused quite an uproar in the New York papers and media around the world, because it basically revealed to you the fact that these elite people view the rest of humanity as kind of a subspecies of which they're entitled to do anything they want to us whenever they want to do it. And so Macron, I don't know where it went legally, The man is high as one of the world's most elite men. He has access to judges and politicians, and quite capable through political favors and quite capable through his monetary power. He can basically buy himself out of any accusation, whether it's true or not. And so the story faded from the media, and I don't know whether they paid the girl off a certain amount of money to keep her quiet. I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened, but I can surmise that what happened was some kind of way they bought themselves out of the problem, because he was, of course, never seriously prosecuted or seriously sent to jail. He, like many of the elite, he is above that. They live in a different stratosphere of reality. But notice that Macron has these occultic connections, weird behaviors sexually, was one of the key men leading and promoting this satanic Paris Olympics ceremony, and was groomed and developed and chosen by Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum. And so you have Trudeau, the head of Canada, head of the World Economic Forum. You have, not the head of the World Economic Forum, he's one of their protégés. And there are protégés in many major cities, in many major governments, and as prime ministers and presidents. The World Economic Forum has handpicked young children, and they have groomed them into their worldview and belief system, and programmed into their worldview and system. But here's the thing to pay attention to. When you see the World Economic Forum hides behind the facade of being good and desiring to help man, but those are all lies. And you have to really come to grips with the fact that those are all lies. For example, I can't mention his name publicly, but one of my closest childhood friends when I was growing up happens to be one of the top few percentage of the globalist elite. And I never knew how he made this meteoric climb in success and power. He was a very bright kid. His family was very bright and seemed to be connected. And he was a very virtuous kid, and his brothers were very virtuous. So I'm not leveling an accusation about him, because I can't do that, because I don't know the real inside story of what's going on with his life. But I do know that Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum selected him among a small percentage of others to develop as leaders in their Great Reset. And he happens to be, and again, I'm being very careful, he happens to be the head of one of the most powerful economic companies in the world. And the power he has and the money he has and the influence he has belongs to only that very tiny group of what are referred to as the globalist elite. But I can't also be blind to the fact that he was developed by this same World Economic System / Klaus Schwab globalist elite. So wherever you see that, and again, I'm not making an accusation, wherever you see that, you need to ask yourself a lot of hard questions. Because whether the people that are being developed by them really and fully understand what they're part of, at this point, I don't know. One can surmise, just on the basis of a statistical analysis, that there has to be within this elite group of globalist elite World Economic Forum men and women that have been specifically groomed for power leadership in their Great Reset or New World Order or whatever they want to call it. One has to surmise that there must be a significant percentage that is indeed aware of what the real evil agenda is behind the Great Reset. And then most likely there is that percentage, Because remember, it is quite common in powerful satanic, Luciferian, and occult organizations. The normal operating procedure would be referred to as compartmentalization, so that you dispense this information to this guy or girl, and you keep it from this guy or girl, but this guy and girl has special classified information, and then this guy and girl over here has completely different classified information. So the information, very few people have information which allows you to look at the whole system and the whole picture holistically. All most people have is a compartmentalized piece of secret information. And this is how secret societies operate, by the way. So these people have been developed and groomed for the specific responsibility of creating a new world order, which they call the Great Reset. The problem with that is that what they tell the public, what they are communicating to the public, is that they're, you know, like a wholesome liberator for mankind, and they're going to reboot the economies of the world. And as Klaus Schwab has been quoted as saying, you'll own absolutely nothing, but you'll never be happier in your whole life. Well, that's a stinking lie. That's propaganda, and it's a lie. Yeah, you will own nothing. I mean, you will own absolutely nothing. That part of it is probably true. But the second part, which says, and you'll never be happier in your whole life, is a total lie, because it's an impossibility for the two things to happen at the same time. If you own absolutely nothing, I promise you, you will be miserable beyond belief. You will be suffering. You will have almost no freedom, and you will be a slave. That's what you will be if you own nothing. Do you notice? Do you hear any statements or testimonies from members of this globalist elite, these famous people I'm talking about? Do you ever hear them making little comments like, I'm going to give away all my money, I'll own absolutely nothing, and I've never been happier in my whole life? In other words, that's what they're preaching for you to do, but are they listening to their own preaching? Are they doing what they are going to force you to do? And the answer is, of course not. They're not owning nothing. They're the wealthiest people in the world, and they're conspicuous consumers. They have, you know, 5 Rolls Royce cars and 5 or 6 high-end private jets. They own castles, multiple castles and estates all across the world. They're worth $100 million, $1 billion, and in some cases $1 trillion. And their wealth is unending. And they continue to make deals, and they continue to manufacture and increase and expand their wealth every day. So their happiness is obviously contingent upon how much they own. So when they tell you to do the opposite of what they're doing, and what they're doing is that is they're owning everything, including you and your money and your nation and your future. They are owning everything, including the planet. That's what they're doing, which is the exact opposite of what they are commanding you to do when they say you will own absolutely nothing and you'll never be happier in your whole life. So you see, the veil has to be pulled from your eyes. Every time evil approaches a nation, every time evil approaches the world system, every time evil and Luciferian ideas infiltrate our day-to-day realities and our world system, every time that happens, the evil is injected into our society and into our nations through demonic belief systems, demonic ideologies, and demonic political economic ideologies. So every time you see evil taking over a nation or an individual or a people, the reason it's taking over is because it is using the power of Lucifer and Luciferian principles to conquer the world for Lucifer, and they pledge to become Lucifer's servants. So you ask yourself the question, these satanic Olympics ceremonies, one occurred in Britain, now one is occurring in Paris, France, and they've occurred across the world. and you always see hardcore Illuminati symbols. You see sexual perversion symbols like pedophilia and stuff. You see satanic Luciferian symbols. And then you see a satanic celebration. You see an open and satanic mass ritual with openly displayed mass satanic symbols. And this is being done to finance these mega theatrical events. It costs tens and millions of dollars. Probably that's conservative. It costs an endless millions of dollars to finance these events. The same kind of event occurred at CERN as they went through a massive tunnel in the mountains. And the people who went through the tunnel were performers, singers, dancers, Satanists, Luciferians. And they had a plethora of satanic symbols and Luciferian symbols, and they were performing all kinds of satanic rituals under the disguise of celebrating a scientific accomplishment. So when you see this, you have to see it for what it is. You are seeing the veil that's designed to hide you from observing the evident works of Luciferian darkness. A veil has been put over your eyes. A spiritual blinding force veil has been placed over your eyes to block you from seeing what's really going on spiritually in this world. And tragically, most Christians are among the blind of the blindest. But then when you see these open ceremonies of hardcore Luciferian rituals, of pedophilia rituals, of perversion rituals, of demonic rituals and symbols, then all of a sudden, you're beginning to see a glimpse of the real reality going on in our world. And you're beginning to see a glimpse of the fact that the Bible's statements about our reality is highly accurate. We are not fighting against people and human beings. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the principalities and the powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly realms. We are battling right now, and for centuries we have been battling demonic powers, fallen angels, satanic rituals, demons, hidden works of darkness. We have been part of an age-long struggle against the satanic emissaries seeking to conquer our world, because their goal, this is where the rubber meets the road. You've got to understand with great clarity what their end game and what their end goal is. And in just a few seconds, I'm going to share with you a succinct picture of precisely what their end game is. And you need to know what it is and how it functions, because you're not supposed to be enslaved, captured, or deceived by it. You need to overcome it in the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We'll be back in just a moment. You are now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Before we continue, I want to remind you that we are in a literal spiritual and psychological war for the hearts and souls of mankind in America and around the world. The purpose of this ministry is to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The purpose of this ministry is to communicate the truth of God's word, bring people into a saving knowledge of Christ, and communicate on spiritually true topics, because there are very few sources of communication and media. Even in the alternative media, there are very few sources that are communicating the entirety of truth. Because truth is just not political, it's just not scientific, it's also biblical and spiritual. Unless you properly integrate all those different categories in your communication, you are communicating a less than powerful communication. The way you set people free, the only way that you can set people free, is to communicate the complete truth to them, not just bits and pieces of the truth. You have to communicate the entire biblical message of truth to them, which impacts every area of life. Now, I I'm doing everything I can at this critical moment, and this is a critical moment, to expand our outreach, to enhance and upgrade our technological equipment, to make the necessary purchases that we must make to reach more people in a highly competitive environment. And so I'm asking you, if you believe in what we're doing and you believe in this message, I'm asking you to simply ask the Lord how much you should give or contribute or financially gift to this ministry at this critical time. And then I'm exhorting you that whatever the Lord tells you to do, whatever the Lord puts on your heart in terms of how much to give or contribute or donate, simply obey the Lord, trusting that if you obey the Lord in your giving, you shall not go wanting, because you're obeying the law of reciprocity. You're obeying the law of sowing and reaping. So please ask the Lord what you can do, and whatever God tells you to do, be open. You know, don't go to the Lord in prayer asking him what to do when you've already made up your mind what to do before you're asking him. That's just like playing games. Let's get real. If I go to the Lord and I've already made up my mind what I'm going to do, and then the Lord speaks to me and tells me something other than what I decided to do in terms of an amount of giving or whatever, then I'm just kidding myself, because there's no point in asking God what you're supposed to do if you intend to only do what you determined in your own self-will to do. Where the blessing comes in is when you do what God tells you to do. When you obey the Lord, that's when the blessing is released. That's why it says in the Bible, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And the reason you can be a cheerful giver, quite simply, is this. You can be a cheerful giver when you're obeying the Lord by giving what it is he asks you to give. That should be a cheerful experience to the degree you have developed your faith, you've developed your confidence in the faithfulness of God. So you know when you obey God by giving whatever it is that he's asking you to give, you know that God's going to take care of your needs abundantly. And so your whole attitude in this process is one of joy, celebration, and victory. How does that happen? You have to develop yourself spiritually. It's like exercise. You have to renew your mind. You have to renew your mind with the Word of God so that you're operating on a higher spiritual power level. And so when you're operating on a higher spiritual power level, you're going to hear the Lord speak to you in a still small voice. And if you do what he tells you to do, then you are obeying the law of sowing and reaping. And God's resources will be channeled into your life, and you'll be blessed in a ever greater measure. Why? Because you know that you know that you know. You believe what God's word said. You're not doubting God's word. You're trusting God's word. And it is in the trusting of God's word that you experience supernatural joy and that you can be a cheerful giver. Otherwise, this is the faulty way to perceive it. The faulty way to perceive it is to be resentful of giving, to resent giving. Now, the reason people get stuck in the trap of being resentful of giving and resent giving, the reason they get stuck in that trap is they haven't renewed their minds with the Word of God. And so therefore, because their minds are not renewed, they falsely see their giving or donating as a loss for them, that they're somehow losing money, or they're losing opportunities, or they're losing finances. Well, if that's what you really believe, you're not going to be able to give and then simultaneously be a cheerful giver, because you're going to be operating from a false perception, which is a lie, by the way. You're going to be operating from the false perception that when you give in obedience to God, you're losing something. You're losing money. You're losing dollars. And so, of course, you're not cheerful if you think you're going to be cheated or you're going to lose money. But that mindset is built on a satanic lie. And it's that satanic lie which is often referred to as the generational curse of poverty. It's how poverty can keep people poor generation after generation after generation. So it's referred to as a generational curse. And a generational curse is when you're struggling to be free in an area, let's say finances, but you always seem to be losing money. You developed a poverty mindset and you invite a financial curse on your life versus a financial blessing. The key is to renew your mind so your inner thoughts and beliefs regarding money and giving and opportunity and work, renew your mind with the Word of God so that your thoughts, your thinking about money and finances are synchronized with the truth of God's Word. Now, when you do that, all of a sudden it clicks, and when you do that, you become a cheerful giver. Why? Because you have had an inner revelation of what happens positively and dynamically when you obey God with your finances. So you automatically become a cheerful giver. And you continue to break the spirit of poverty off your mind and off your life when you obey the God, when you obey God in your giving. So that's how we do. We always defeat Satan. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. One stronghold that many of us face, and we face many types of strongholds, but one common stronghold is this spirit of poverty that can come over an individual or a family, where no matter how much work they seem to do, they experience very minimal financial returns. And the reason for that is they're trapped in their minds, they're trapped by a spirit of poverty, where they're not seeing the harvest of blessings that they should be seeing when they obey God by giving. Very simple. But you can have this strong, same type of stronghold mechanism when it comes to addictions, alcoholism, fear. I mean, it could go on and on. And in each one of those cases where a stronghold has been erected by the demonic, you have to tear it down and dismantle it by obeying God and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you dismantle those strongholds, the Lord sets you free. So Satan, since the beginning of time, has used what is called the wiles of the devil, which means the tricks, the strategies, the schemes, the lying, the deception of the devil. It is referred to collectively as the wiles of the devil. When we're in spiritual warfare, and all of us are in spiritual warfare, we are battling against the wiles of the devil. So what you see in these Olympic ceremonies is that the globalist elite that exists through stealing and manipulation of financial markets, through sacrifice, both human adult sacrifice and child sacrifice, pedophilia, satanic rituals of all kinds, all of this summoning of evil powers is being used by the globalist Luciferian elite in a supernatural attempt to steal what is not rightfully theirs so that they can enrich themselves at your expense and my expense. So when we see their hidden works of darkness exposed in the form of these giant spectacle celebrations, which bombard the senses with a whole series of satanic, Luciferian, perverse symbolism, which is designed to produce strongholds in people's minds and hearts for the purpose of bringing them into spiritual captivity. The way you deal with that is you overcome it by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. It's a spiritual battle. You overcome it, you defeat it, and you destroy it. So when we see these satanic forces rising on the global scene with increasing frequency, our job is not to stand there and give in to being petrified by fear. Our job is to stand in the faith of Jesus Christ, and our job is to exercise and utilize the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And by this we overcome. So we are right now in the critical moment, especially in the United States and the world scene. World War III is like hanging in the atmosphere. Armageddon is in viewing distance. A deliberately, artificially manufactured economic crisis is ready to be brought out on stage. And the purpose of this globalist economic crisis is to generate total fear and paranoia financially, which will cause the common man and woman to stampede into accepting some kind of wireless new currency where nobody can buy or sell without what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. But the mark of the beast is a nanochip implant which can transmit banking information, and it can receive banking information. And the goal of the Luciferians is to usher in an antichrist global government, new world order, one world religion, and one world economic system, which controls the money system of the world through some kind of nanochip implant that utilizes wireless technology. And this will give the globalist elite the opportunity to use super electronic and digital surveillance on every single person alive 24/7. This will usher in their new world order and great reset, and this will lock down society so that the Luciferian elite and their partners can have total domination and total control and total evil rule of planet Earth. That is their endgame, and we're going to get more into it in just a few seconds. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. We're on the verge in the next approximately 2 months of experiencing a tremendous amount of turbulence economically, politically, socially, a tremendous amount of turbulence, a series of catastrophic events that will produce on-demand mass chaos, the infusion of mass chaos and fear through subliminal weaponry and the media, designed to infuse and paralyze the masses with fear and chaos, revelations and exposures of all kinds of world leaders and politicians. Trump recently visiting Israel and making some, let's just call them, questionable remarks. The whole election in America is critical. And the fallout from who's elected is going to a large degree, affect the direction and the future of America. So God's people must not abandon the call of God on their lives, because we are entering the season where the expectation of God regarding his children has never been higher. The only hope and answer for the world is if the body of Christ rises to its proper position and assumes its proper spiritual authority and begins to engage in the highest level spiritual warfare possible, which centers on law-abiding, peaceful, intercessory spiritual prayer warfare on a mass level. Every Christian listening to me should be spreading this message and practicing this kind of intercessory prayer day and night. God has given us the power to supernaturally change the course of events and to avert disaster to whatever degree he chooses to sovereignly respond to our prayer request. But if we will not come to the Lord en masse, if we will not come to the Lord as the body of Christ together, humbling ourselves before the Lord, coming boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus, if we don't come to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus and pray and intercede and petition God and ask God to step in to these earthly conflicts and give us spiritual victory and give us mercy, if the body of Christ will steadfastly refuse and disobey its greatest call in all of human history, then, you know, I'm saying this gently, but what I'm saying to you is true. It will not go well for us. And I don't need to say more. You are intelligent enough to grasp what I'm telling you. Each one of us, including me and including you, are responsible before the Lord for doing whatever he calls us to do and for doing whatever we can do guided by him. If every Christian in America, or every person who claimed to be a Christian in America, or even a substantial percentage of those Christians who claim to be Christians in America, would pray to the Lord, receive the Lord's instructions, receive the power of the Spirit, and then begin to obey the Lord, at first beginning with their own personal lives, their own personal home, this would produce a spiritual explosion, change reaction on a global planetary level. By that I mean, God would begin to pour out in increased measure his dunamis, dynamite, explosive-like power of the Holy Spirit, known as the dunamis. When we worship God, when we come boldly to the throne of grace, God is more than willing and able to release the explosion of the dunamis dynamite power of God. And when we become open doors, so to speak, for God to detonate the dunamis dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, we then release supernatural weapons that tear down satanic, Luciferian, and demonic strongholds all across the planet. Now, when that kind of, when the demons, the fallen angels, Lucifer, and evil people and evil nations, when they, excuse me, when they encounter that intensity in the lives of true Christians, They lose their boldness. They lose their ability to think clearly and conquer. When they begin to see God's people walking by faith in victory, with the supernatural power of God being detonated from within their inner man or inner woman, this causes a supernatural chain reaction that moves from person to person, family to family, ministry to ministry, church to church. When we humble ourselves before God and allow God to detonate the dunamis power of God in our inner man or woman, this releases an explosion of dunamis force that is so powerful and so mighty that it burns up and destroys every conceivable satanic stronghold, strongholds that are enslaving billions of people on planet Earth. Those strongholds are obliterated by the explosive force of the Holy Spirit. God is calling us now. God is calling his children now to rise up and respond to his present second call, which means God's calling you now. God's calling you now to rise up and receive the, rise up and be clothed with power from on high, to read the Word of God, to be filled with the boldness that only the Holy Spirit can produce in your life. And then as you're filled with supernatural boldness and you're filled with supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, you can move forward boldly, taking the land piece by piece as God has given you that land to conquer. The moment we decide to do this, first we decide to do this as individual Christians. Then we believe God that the fire of the Holy Spirit that explodes inside of us, we believe God that that fire becomes transferable. And so as we are set ablaze by the power of God, that being set ablaze by the power of God begins to spread from Christian to Christian in a chain reaction. So there's a chain reaction that occurs going from house to house, person to person, church to church, and it happens very quickly. The dunamis dynamite power of God that began by exploding in the heart and mind of one or a small group of Christians now spreads subatomically, it spreads like a chain reaction with massive spiritual explosions detonating and destroying and burning up completely satanic and Luciferian strongholds. And demons are leveled, fallen angels are destroyed, men and women who have pledged to serve Satan are bound and paralyzed, and the power of God comes down upon the earth with great force, unprecedented force. God's power comes down upon the earth with unprecedented force, consuming everything that is wicked, everything that is evil, and everything that is depraved. And the power of God begins to shake the earth as a mighty force. We are on the precipice of that. Our secret weapon, spiritually, is precisely what I just described to you. And so when you hear a description of our secret weapon, like the weapon I just described to you, when you hear such a description, you have a choice. You can receive it by faith and take part in allowing that dunamis power of God to ignite in you and spread through you. Or when you see that dunamis power igniting, you can shut it down, turn off the switch, and actively oppose it. Well, it's obvious there's only one answer that's acceptable before God. And the answer that's acceptable for God is for us to yield ourselves, to prostrate ourselves before Almighty God, worshiping Him and calling upon Him to pour out the supernatural power of His Holy Spirit, so that we may be anointed by a flood of the power of the Holy Spirit, and so that we may drive the enemy back into confinement. God has given us this power to utilize at the end of the age, and so we must utilize it. And that's where we are now. When we do this, when we move from the place of mentally considering it and mentally pondering it, when we move from that place and move into the place of what could be called radical obedience, we will see a radical outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And it is only a radical outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God that can radically drive out the demonic powers and the evil demons and demonic forces. And God wants us to do that. When you read the book of Acts, which deals extensively with how God is going to pour out His Holy Spirit in the last days, we have to remember that here in America, we still have, with all of its enormous problems and challenges, the power of our vote is absolutely critical. Every Christian must vote, and they must vote intelligently. I've heard some of the lamest, half-baked ideas that are driving people to vote for the wrong candidate. And the reason they're doing that is they're surrendering to stupidity, and they're not using their God-given common sense, their spiritual discernment. It is very important who the leader of the United States is. That's going to determine to a significant degree where America is going to go. Who becomes our next president of the United States is going to set the tone for the future of your life, your children's life, and your grandchildren's life. There should be the greatest prayer movement in the history of the United States regarding this election. Every church, every individual, every ministry should be calling people to prayer as we are, and then obeying God by praying intercessory prayers over this election. We can defeat the powers of darkness attempting to interfere with this election when we come together in powerful spiritual intercessory warfare and pray accordingly. I cannot stress to you how vitally important it is to obey the Lord's word in this area. The president that we get is the president that we will pray in. And that includes not just, it means praying for the elections already starting to pray, praying now, praying every day until the election, and continuing to pray after the election, because there's a strong possibility that the election will be contested. There'll be mass riots potentially in the streets. There are so many problems being hidden away from the American people by the media that are ready to blow up with explosive intensity. And we must stand our ground in spiritual warfare, and then the accompanying practical things like physically voting, physically participating in the election, and really praying for discernment and doing a little homework. Because some of the people that I hear as suggested candidates, you either are not born again, or you don't have any spiritual discernment, or you just plain don't have an ounce of common sense. So that prayer is now more important than it has ever been since the history of America. Okay, so what God tells us in the book of Acts is what his plan is concerning the Holy Spirit. So the church, in order for the church to have discernment and boldness and to be able to pray accordingly, we need to have a revelation of what God is communicating to us in the book of Acts, chapter 1, starting at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Or, it is the command of God for all of us to be clothed with power from on high. Therefore, when they had come together, and then here's another principle from the word that releases the power of God into a culture and a nation. When you pray in unity, assuming, of course, that you're praying for the right candidate or the right issues in unity, and then you work together physically in unity with wisdom, of course. So the disciples are concerned about what's happening, and they say to Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And then Jesus, in front of the disciples, Jesus begins to ascend up into heaven. And the angels tell the disciples, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So they continue their upper room prayer meeting. And then as they're praying in the upper room, the power of God is poured out on them. They're being clothed with power from on high. So let's read verse 2, verse 1, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had finally come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided as tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. They were accusing the apostles of being drunk, the disciples of being drunk, because they were laughing and they were so filled with the joy of the Lord. So then Peter issues a prophecy under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the prophecy that Peter is issuing, he didn't make up himself. It's a prophecy that was given to the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. So Peter is delivering the prophecy of the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. Peter is now delivering it in Jerusalem. So, starting at verse 6, Peter says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is pretty powerful. Men of Israel, bear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. So what we see here is the Holy Spirit is poured out on the disciples in the last days, and God is pouring out his Spirit on the last days. Now, listen carefully. Whether or not the church and Christians like you and me, whether or not we are clothed with the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized with the Holy Spirit, the key thing is we will not experience victory. We will not be overcomers. We will not win the spiritual war unless we are first filled with God pouring out his Holy Spirit on all of us. We will not be victorious unless our sons and daughters begin to prophesy the supernatural. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Prophesying is when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, not your own imagination, not your own daydream, not your own conjecture. It's a genuine explosion of light and the Word of God from the Word of God, and you are speaking the oracles of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Then you'll have victory. I will pour out my Spirit in those days. What days? The last days. We're in the last days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is powerful stuff. And then it says that Jesus is going to perform miracles, wonders, and signs among the people. So what we see is that supernatural things are happening all around them. Signs in the heavens, signs in the sky, the moon will be turned to blood, the sun will be turned into dark ashes. Okay, these are super signs, prophetic super signs. And then the prophetic super sign of Israel. President Trump flew to Israel, met with the heads of Israel, prayed with the heads of Israel at the Wailing Wall, and made a strange statement, Israel will be last, which people are interpreting in different ways. I would suggest before you finalize your interpretation on exactly what Trump meant by, and Israel will be last, I wouldn't jump to a conclusion and just blurt out a false interpretation over what he said. You need to hear what he's saying in context. You need to study it carefully. And you need to be precise in your interpretation about what the president said, because it could well be prophetic. But the fact that Trump, on behalf of America, is visiting Israel is a prophetic sign. Because if Israel commits atrocities against Hamas, and I don't, you know, I wasn't there. I've heard both reports. I'm not dismissing Israel if Israel was guilty, but nor am I condoning what Hamas did if Hamas was guilty. The key thing here is God is righteous, holy, and true. And so if Israel commits sins against humanity, God will punish them and hold them responsible. If Hamas commits sins against humanity and Israel and the Jewish people, God will hold Hamas accountable. The key thing here that we have to remember is that our job is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And praying for the peace of Jerusalem, we receive a supernatural blessing when, as the body of Christ in America, we choose to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because praying for the peace of Jerusalem by extension, will bring about increased levels of peace, a reduction of violence and killing and bombing and nukes and everything else. So the aftermath of praying for the peace of Jerusalem is that all the people, Hamas, the Middle Eastern nations, Israel, they all will enjoy peace if God's people are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And we all want peace. We don't want bloodshed and murder. But at the same time, we have to remember, and now what I'm about to speak to you does not condone any illegal actions by Israel or Hamas, but we can't forget the fact that God gave Israel in the long term, prophetically, God gave the physical land of Israel to Israel as an everlasting covenant. So the physical land of Israel has been given to Israel as an everlasting covenant. It's been given to them directly by God. Now, that doesn't mean that that justifies or licenses brutality or anything weird on behalf of Israel. Nor does it give the Middle Eastern Islamic nations like Hamas a blank check to kill and bomb and destroy Israelis. So we need to pray for peace. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we need to pray for the peace of the adjoining nations. Okay, this is Paul McGuire. We are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. I need your help so that we can expand our outreach. That means I need you to ask God, how much should you give financially? And then I humbly ask you to give whatever it is God is telling you to give. They are fighting. They are taking us down off certain search engines because we're speaking the truth. I need your help by following the Paul McGuire Report, by joining and liking the Paul McGuire Report. This is the only way that we can break their rigging computer bot game. And remember, rigging is just a fancy word for creating lies about somebody. Their goal through PSYOPs is they want to marginalize the voices of truth tellers. And the way they go about marginalizing the voices of truth tellers is they discredit, minimize, suppress, and vastly reduce the numbers, the postings of the actual numbers of people who are actually listening to programs like the Paul McGuire Report and others. And then they go out and completely falsify the number of people listening and watching the Paul McGuire Report. Why do they do that? Because when they falsify the numbers we have on so many different social media channels, it's a psyops. It's a psyops which creates a lying, false perception in the minds of people. Oh, nobody's listening to them. They're insignificant. And that shuts doors for us. I want to thank each and every one of you who have joined and decided to follow our social media on the various platforms. Please do it right now before you finish listening to the show. Go to paulmcguire.us or go directly to the social media page or the internet page that you're listening to this program on, and then make sure right then and there you sign up to be a follower and a liker of the Paul McGuire Report. That way, the numbers that get reported of how many people are listening and liking our program, the real truth of the numbers are allowed to be released. They can't get away with falsifying the numbers when people like you are individually posting the truth that you're watching and listening and you like it. You see, this is a game of illusion and manipulation. Now, I'm not standing up here for myself and just for me. You know that, right? I'm at great risk doing what I'm doing. I'm standing here on behalf of you and your family, but I can't accomplish what I believe God wants us to accomplish together unless you're willing to help finance it and pray for us and destroy the rigging and do everything that you can under the direction and guidance of the Lord to win this spiritual battle. And I am totally convinced before the Lord Jesus Christ, I am totally convinced that God has put his supernatural power in each one of us, and that we are more than capable of turning the tide of the spiritual battle, and that we shall prevail in the spiritual battle. We shall be victorious in the spiritual battle, and we shall overcome in the spiritual battle. And to that end, I say, praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Stand with me, will you? God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.